Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for all the people you've gathered here. Thank you that revelation knowledge is flowing freely, unhindered, unrestricted by satanic forces or demonic hindrances. Lord, I ask that you think of my vocal cords, think of my mind. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our teaching that we started. Good teaching. On Sunday, I started talking about living from the kingdom within. I want to continue with that. We had three sections where we're talking about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We stopped on peace. I wasn't finished with it. And then afterwards, I just got so much more on it. So we want to continue with that. this is a part of a series of teachings entitled Kingdom Resurgence. And just quickly, resurgence just basically is a word that the Lord dropped in my spirit, a prophetic statement or word that's going to ignite kingdom principles that will usher in judgment and justice to his people against the forces of darkness. Basically, it's a mobilization of his church that's going to reflect heaven's agenda. So really, really powerful, powerful teaching. This evening, we're going to continue on with, as you see on the screen, a revelation of peaceful violence. In Matthew 11, 12, it says, For from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Well, Jesus is now resurrected, sitting on the right hand of God, the throne of power, and his church is poised and ready to enter into a position of taking authority in the earth. I call it throne dominion that he revealed it to me. So this violence isn't physical warfare. It's spiritual intensity and resistance against the kingdom of darkness. It reflects both opposition from religious and political systems. It's a passionate pursuit for those that are hungry for truth. Truth is a person. That person is Jesus. He's the truth, right?
Yes.
So the violent take it by force. This refers to those who are spiritually aggressive, not angry, but spiritually aggressive in faith. All right? They are not passive believers. They press into the kingdom. They contend and they refuse to be denied. So where's the kingdom at? It's on the inside of us. So when we press and live from the inside out, we're able to break through religious barriers, cultures of resistance, and personal limitations to advance the kingdom of God. So that's what this is all about. All righty. So now, in our opening statement, for born again saints, the kingdom is already here. As we already said, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. This means we do not live from the outside. We don't react to the world. When you react to the world and what's going on in the world, you'll be tossed by your emotions and driven by your flesh. So, again, we live from the inside out. That means we're governed by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. We're anchored in righteousness, or we're anchored in the word of righteousness. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Godliness is a prerequisite for experiencing the kingdom of God in our lives. I listened to the tape, and what I wanted to get across was that's like when you go to college or anything like that. Before you take your major courses, what you went to major in, you have to take prerequisites. And it's the same with the kingdom of God. We all have different unique assignments in the kingdom. My assignment is to teach the word. Teach people who they are and what they have in Christ Jesus so they can grow thereby. That's what the Lord told me to do. So when we do what we're called to do, then God's begin to bring all the right people to you. I'm saying it again. When you do what God called you to do, then God brings all the right people to you. It's very critical that we understand our assignment and we get in a divine alignment of our assignment. So very important. That means every ministry is not for everybody. We are all interconnected through our faith in Jesus, but we're not all directly connected. And part of maturity understands that. So without holiness, you cannot walk in the kingdom's authority. With self-seeking, we cannot access kingdom power, and the kingdom flows through consecrated vessels, allowing him to use us for his glory. Those who have laid down their flesh life and picked up their cross, which is to crucify the flesh and allow Jesus to live through us. So last week, Sunday, we really got into consecration. It was powerful. You just go back and listen to the tape. It'll be up on the website here within the next couple of days for sure. All righty. So now let's go ahead. And I talked about the laws of the kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. So the kingdom of God works by laws. It's governed by laws. So in Luke 17, 20 through 21, it says the kingdom of God does not come with observation. The kingdom of God is within you. I can't stress that enough. It's on the inside of us. Romans 14, 17 says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, old school, you know, Ron Canole. Joy in the Holy Ghost, that's the kingdom of God. All right, hallelujah. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? All right, the kingdom of God is governed by spiritual laws. Very important. When you're immature, I want to say when you're a young Christian, you're born again, you're a baby. I don't want to call you immature. You don't understand the laws. And a lot of times you can go to church for years and you never learn that the kingdom operates by principles and precepts. But as you mature, I call it you graduate from elementary school or you know, romper room where, you know, you're excited about, you know, you get excited about Jesus and things of that nature. And you're supposed to be. But at some point you start growing and maturing and God begins to show you the spiritual principles and precepts. So when you're a baby, you're under the covering of a local assembly. And hopefully that leadership understands what they're doing, where you're keeping them up under a covering of protection through their prayer and intercession. But over time, they have to grow. Just like in the natural child has to grow, you grow spiritually. And as you grow spiritually, you got to begin to learn how to operate in the kingdom for yourself. We talked about consecration and bathing, you know, how we kind of, you know, as you mature, you know, we raise children to take care of themselves. As you mature, you got to learn how to have some personal hygiene spiritually. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's very important. And that's part of growing up. Amen. And God wants you to grow up. That's why sometimes things don't work anymore, because it's like it's time to grow up. All righty. Some people don't want to grow up. But anyway, let's move on. The kingdom is not external. It is internal. It's not governed by religious rituals or worldly systems, but by spiritual laws that operate through surrender. You got to surrender to these spiritual laws. Godly hearts, that's just what it means to surrender. It's godly hearts that are willing to die to their personal agenda. This is important. We're talking about maturity, where you're no longer living for your personal ambitions and desires. And, oh, I want a goal. Here's my goal. And I want to reach this pinnacle of success. When you mature, you no longer live for yourself, but you live for him. You let him live through you. And that's a maturity. People can be 60, 70 years old and never really yield themselves where he can fulfill their will. This has been in my heart. Say a person is a teacher. I like teachers because I had a teacher that when I was in high school that helped me get out and graduate from high school. She took a liking to me and helped me. Well, she was a godly woman. She went to church. And so I have an affinity or a passion for teachers because I think they're very important. But see, when you are a teacher or you are a principal of a school, those children become your assignment. So you begin to pray for them and you begin to, you know, take your list and pray over them and pray the blessings and bind the enemy off their life. That's your place where you're taking authority and dominion on behalf of those children. Yeah. Okay, so they become your prayer assignment. And so like a principal in the school, you know, you got all these teachers, but you're godly. Well, how do you flow in the kingdom? You begin to pray and you intercede. You get up and you pray for your school. And before you know it, your school has great scores. It's because you're learning how to deal in the spirit realm, you know, And that's where the king and the priest come together. So again, I'm just throwing some things out there because it's time to mature. Yeah. Everyone has a job to do. My job is to teach you as a pastor the kingdom way so that you go out in the world of this world and you begin to use the kingdom principles to help people. You know, so you're not there working. You know, you get a degree. I'm not against education. Hear me. I know you hear me preaching about it because religious systems has used education to stifle the people that God has called. People like me, I was called to do this, but religion pushed me down and made me feel so insignificant that I couldn't see my assignment. But now that I'm seeing my assignment, I got a job to do. God chooses people with a vision that can't do it. And we all come together and we work together as a team. Anyway, hopefully you understand that. So whatever you are called to do, your profession, you do it as unto the Lord. And it's serious business. So you need to learn how to intercede over those kids. If you're a doctor, you know, you can be one of the best doctors around. Why? Because you know how to operate in the spirit. But sometimes spirits are behind things. Say you're a doctor of psychology or something like that, or you know, you understand, if you really understand spiritual things, you understand a lot of the problems is demonic.
Right.
But see, the world's not going to teach you that. So you're trying to they'll just medicate everybody. But a lot of times it's demonic activity. And there's plenty of psychologists and psychiatrists that have understood that. And instead, they praying for them and interceding for them. And boom, they're delivered from those strongholds of the enemy. See what I'm saying? So we got to stay in our profession. We got to understand. But as a saved person, we still got to understand there's spiritual things that's behind it. Is that helping you? Okay, that's hopefully going to help someone. All righty. So now let's get into this. As I wanted to continue with peace. And peace isn't weakness. It's spiritual strength. The enemy knows that if he can stir you up emotionally, get you to have anger, fear, and pride, offense, he can strip you of your authority. We have authority. Jesus gave us authority over principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. He gave us authority over the enemy. Are you listening to me? But if you try to fight him in your flesh, you know, he wins by default because you can't win him from that position. So he stirs these things up. He can strip you of your authority. But when you choose peace, you choose power. It's important. When we choose peace, we choose power. You stay aligned with heaven and God steps in and fights for you. So this teaching will help you recognize peace as a weapon. It's not something we do to retreat. It's about learning to stay calm, stay focused, and let God handle what your flesh wants to fight. Hello. We want to clap back. We always got a word for somebody. Listen to that junk that's on Facebook or whatever they call it. They always try to bait you in. Somebody said so-and-so, he got back at somebody. Why? It's trying to keep you in your flesh life. As God's children, we don't even pay attention to that garbage. It's garbage to keep people fighting. Because when you're fighting in your flesh, you're breaking spiritual laws if you don't understand it. So it's about learning to stay calm, stay focused, and let God handle what your flesh wants to fight. Holding your peace is how you hold your ground. Amen. All righty. Now, we looked at these scriptures on Sunday. I want to look at them again. Philippians 4:17 says, the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ. Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Again, peace is not passive. It is a weapon. It guards your heart and mind against fear, confusion, and spiritual attack. It's heaven's defense system for the believer. Peace is a spiritual shield that activates when your mind is anchored in God. It's not the absence of conflict, and I want to talk about that. It's the presence of divine order. So it's not the absence of conflict. So I'm going to touch that in a minute, but I want to bring this. This came to my heart and my mind. I want to talk about. We're entering in a time of the year where a lot of mental illness cases come up. People get depressed. Depression sets in during this holiday season. It always starts. See, what is it? It's Halloween season, which is the devil's season. I don't participate in anything of the devil. And so witches and warlocks, this is, you know, and so it releases evil activity and spirits in the atmosphere. And so people in this season get depressed during holidays. Why? Because it's actually supposed to be a time of Thanksgiving and love. Man. But what the enemy does is he attacks people. My mom struggled with mental illness. And one of the things is the way you overcome it is you got to keep your mind on the Lord. He keeps you in perfect peace. And a lot of those people don't know how to control their thought lives because it's demonic activity that irritates them. Remember Jesus, like the shepherd, he would anoint their head with eye salve, you know, the sheep. A shepherd would put things on the sheep to keep the flies and the bugs from irritating. Okay. Well, that's what happens when we spend time with our mind on the Lord. It keeps the enemy out of our mind. Put on some godly music, worship and praise God. And that's when you got to know who you are in Christ. Because the enemy attacks your identity. He makes you feel bad. A lot of times people struggle in the financial arena in this time and they feel bad because they don't have any love money. Hear what I'm saying? They don't have any love money. They want to get things for Christmas and this, that, and the other. Or they get into debt and stuff trying to show love. So it's a season where the enemy really attacks people. And anybody knows, even physicians know this, that this is a high season where people that have mental illness get attacked. Okay. And we as the church got to understand it's demonic. And we can help them when we get into a place of intercession and pray the love of Jesus over their life and bind the enemy from attacking them. So much I learned. Anyway, my mom's home with the Lord. So, all righty, praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and continue. Now, I talked about it's not absent of conflict. And I know there was a question on Sunday that was raised. What do I mean by that? So let's go ahead and get into that. Peace is a spiritual force. It's a stance you take on the inside of your heart. This means peace is not just a feeling. It's divine obedience that allows God's protection. Divine peace exists. Now, this is where I'm getting into it. Divine peace exists in the middle of chaos because it is based on God's authority and rule in you. So on the outside, there's chaos, but on the inside of you, there's peace. You understand? So this peace is not absent of chaos on the outside. So the world has no peace. And I'm going to talk about this some more. Jesus said, the peace I leave you. I don't leave. Not the peace that the world. He says, the peace I leave you, not with the world. So he's on the inside. Peace is on the inside. He is the Prince of Peace. Glory to God. So that peace is on the inside. And we have to live from the inside and hold your peace. So it's not absence of chaos on the outside. There's peace on the inside. And so when storms rage, it tries to get inside of you, problems and circumstances. And you got to learn how to let God be God. You get frustrated about your children. You try to, I call it, you put your monkey paws on your kids, trying to pray and trying to twist their arm and make them come to church. You need to get to church. Why don't you shut up and pray? Trust your prayer is working. Amen. What you're trying to do you're trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit. And what it is you don't believe that that God is answering your prayers, and you want people to get saved your way, your timing, so you can brag. That's all it is. That's all it is. Anyway. So peace is living under divine rule. Peace is a spiritual force. Again, it's a stance you take in your heart. Look at Exodus 14:14, where it reads, it says, the Lord will fight your battle, and you should what? Hold your peace. Do you understand this? Most people don't. Most people don't know how to hold their peace. I'm going to be the first to raise my hands. God has tried to fight for me in many areas, but I didn't know how to hold my peace in things. And one of the things I prayed, I said, Lord, teach my hands the war. And one of the things he began to show me is you got to learn how to keep your peace. You know, we all got good hearts and we want to see people get saved. We want to see people walk in the blessings of Jesus. Everybody does. If you really walk in the blessings of Jesus, you really want to see people walking in the blessings of Jesus. Amen. Well, he had to teach me. Everybody don't want to be saved. Everybody's going to, it's not going to give 100% to me. Jesus said some 30, some 60, so 100, some 100. I said, whoa. Some people don't want truth. There's going to be people out there that got bad hearts and doing things intentionally. And some things is just ignorance. They don't know. They have a zeal unto God, but they don't have knowledge. Well, man, I was there. He's like, you know, as you grow up, you get knowledge and you go, whoa, you start harnessing your zeal. And now you have zeal according to knowledge because you begin to learn spiritual principles and precepts. And that's what the Lord has been doing with us, is teaching us the spiritual principles and precepts, because we're in a spiritual battle. And this peace is very important. Holding our peace is important, because if we don't hold our peace, God can't fight the battle. And that's what he's saying here. This is God's battle. He's just using our faith. He needs us to have an access, our vehicle, our portal of faith to get his will into the earth. He needs a man. He needs a woman. He got me and Tony. We his power couple.
Amen.
To bring change, to believe him. To say, Father, I believe you for marriages being restored. Father, I believe you for people giving their life back to Jesus, being restored, you know, coming out of the fire and repenting and coming back home. I thank you, Lord. See, he needs someone that will believe him. And once he finds someone that will believe him, that backsliders will come back home, then he can start doing it, because God operates by a spiritual law of faith. And he needs men in the earth to make righteous judgment and pray. Mm-hmm. He says, I will heal the land if my people will humble themselves and pray. Well, I'm humble. I'm a former backslider. So I ain't got no judgment. I want people to get saved, because I know that hell is waiting for them. I'm a brand plucked out the fire. So I'm on fire for the Lord. I got passion. I'm excited. This excites me, because I should be dead and in hell. So yeah, I got passion, and I'm very focused, laser focused on the assignment he's given me. And understand this, part of peace is you can't hang around everybody. That's why I talked about separation. Everybody that's preaching and teaching the gospel is not preaching and teaching about Jesus. My passion is Jesus, the simplicity of the gospel. I don't want to hear all that junk that I used to hear in the past. I leave it. I walk away, because that's what made me backslide, because they made salvation so complicated and difficult when it was simple. And the complication of the gospel and complicating and convoluting it is of the devil. And he uses it because someone has got pride and arrogance in their heart. That's the only way it can work. And you think that making it complicated is giving people understanding, but it is not. It's making it hard for them to see the simplicity of the gospel. All righty. Psalms 144:1. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to live godly. We keep missing this thing. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to live godly. Praise the Lord. Psalms 144:1 says, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands to war and my fingers for battle. Did you see that? So, part of the war, major part of the war that he trains us in is to operate in peace.
Yeah.
You got to operate in peace. Be at peace, as I said Sunday. Be at peace with an all possible, be at peace with all men. That means sometimes you can't hang out with certain people. It's my peace is personal, and I don't want their lack of faith, they don't like me or whatever, to affect my personal peace. If you don't like me, I ain't coming around you. It's just that simple. You don't have to, you know, I used to think this way when I was younger, and I still think this way. You know, people get upset. Well, how come you won't let gays and lesbian in? Because we don't want to. Go start your own gay and lesbian whatever. We're holy and righteous unto the Lord. Why do you have to force yourself on people just for acceptance? Accept yourself. If you want to go to hell, go to hell. I'm saying, I can't be thinking of Bishop. Bishop Green. Go to hell if you want to go to hell. I don't care. I ain't going. I was on the road to hell. He took me out the fire. Well, I ain't going. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I finished what I was going there. Look at this. So this is the devil beats people by default. If he can provoke you into the flesh, anger, offense, fear, pride, whatever, he disarms your spiritual authority. So remember I said Jesus gave us a spiritual authority over the forces of darkness. But if you're operating in the flesh, this is all flesh stuff. Your authority won't work because you're actually acting like the devil. The devil feeds on flesh. He's a flesh eater. So if you're operating in the flesh, you're operating in the devil's, in the devil, on the devil's territory. So if he can provoke you again into the flesh, anger, offense, fear, pride, whatever, disarm you, he disarms your spiritual authority. But when you stay in peace, you stay in position. You stay in the position of power. Heaven backs you and the battle shifts from your hand to God's. This is important. When we stay in peace, the battle shifts from our hand or our position we're in to God's. When you hold your peace, this is not passive silence. It is spiritual discipline. Holding your peace means refusing to engage in carnal conflict. This is good teaching here today. I'm gonna say it again. When you hold your peace, that means you refuse to engage in carnal conflict. Remember all them teachings, what do they call them? Them shows, real life shows or whatever they call them. Reality TV, everybody clapping back at each other. It ain't nothing but grown folk acting like chilling and folks watching that stuff. What is it? It's teaching you to operate and engage in carnal conflict. I remember Kim Fields was one of them. She got off that mess. Kim Fields was like, I ain't on this mess. Because it was mess. Bunch of mess and drama and junky mess. And Christian folks watch that. What are you watching that junk for? Anyway. So when you hold your peace, it means refusing to engage in carnal conflict, emotional outbursts, and fear-driven decisions. This is important. A lot of times people miss God's will for their life because they're making fear-driven decisions. Hold your peace and hear what God wants you to do about things. This is called maturity. He's going to talk to you from the inside, glory to God, and tell you what to do on the outside. He'll tell you what steps to take. When my wife and I was going through the storm, I didn't know what to do. So I had to hold my peace. I had to listen to him and he told me what to do. And since I have been obedient and I did what he told me to do, man. And we're being blessed. Amen. I know a lot of people don't see anything, you know, but believe me, he is blessing us, man. We're not just, I'm practicing what I'm preaching. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. I ain't trying to beat nobody up. I'm practicing what I preach. And you're supposed to. You deceived if you don't. Alrighty. In Philippians 4, 4 through 7, it says, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. No, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Who's the Lord? Jesus. So I rejoice in who Jesus is all the time. I got some confessions. I run through my earpiece. I got put a little ear thing in. I push my machine at work and I'm praying in the spirit and saying my confessions. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Oh, glory to God. My mind is stayed on him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Got too much. As I said this Sunday, we got too much technology to be spiritually ignorant. First of all, you got to stop watching that junk and listen to something. I'm getting bold about this. Are you being built up in Jesus? Are you learning stuff that's teaching you about who you are and what you have in Jesus? Or you just want to hear something that sounds good so you can reach your next personal goal? Yeah. Anyway, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. And it says, the Lord is at hand. Verse 6 says, be anxious. That says, don't be worried for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Why? Because he going to answer you. Yes. You need wisdom. He going to give you some wisdom. You know what I'm saying? Let your request be made known to God. And what's going to happen? Verse 7 says, and the peace of God will surpass of all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through who? Through Christ. So don't react to anything. Pray about everything. I'll say it again. Don't react about anything. Pray about everything. Just say, help me, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm teaching you. This is how you hold your peace. There's things that come up that's going on in my life. I don't have answers to them. I don't have answers to certain things. I don't. But he has the answer. I just keep living godly, and I trust God to guide me. Glory to God. Hear that. Oh, that's not, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not in the Holy Ghost. Our job is to live godly and trust God to guide us. See, I live godly and trust God to guide me. That's his job, to guide me through the landmines of the devil that's trying to destroy me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? His rod and staff. Man, glory to God, has corrected me, leading me, and guiding me. Sometimes that shepherd got to gently tap you back over. Get over here, get over here, get over here, so you don't fall off that cliff. So you don't fall in that pit. Huh? Old Rafiki know a little bit more than you think. Come on, let's move on here. I don't know why people think I'm dumb. I know more kingdom information and knowledge than people think. Sorry, I'm not trying to brag on myself. But don't judge a book by its cover, baby. You got to read the contents. Amen. And there's those simple books. I like books that simple, straight to the point. I don't like all that stuff. I don't need, anyway. 2 Corinthians 10. In the Amplified, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, look at this, as mortal men, we do not carry on our spiritual, did you see that? We do not carry on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using weapons of men. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. We got to get this. So if you're pulling out a knife and a gun, you in the flesh. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. These are spiritual fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments. That's for religious people. They're very religious and sophisticated. And I'm not smart enough to complicate the simplicity of the gospel. I say that with pride. I'm proud of my lack of ability to complicate the simplicity. I probably shouldn't say it that way, but hey, man, I just, man, he didn't give me the grace to do all that stuff. Just read the scriptures and say some things, and there it is. Amen. I ain't got no pretty flowery speech. So anyway, we are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and what? Purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. That's what we're doing. Hallelujah. Personally. So I don't listen to junk. If you ain't talking about Jesus and telling me who I am and what I have in Jesus and what Jesus has done for me, I am not interested. I don't want to hear all that. My theology is Jesus. Theology is not even the Bible. My doctrine, I want to know Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my shepherd. He's my king. That's all I care about. If you want to talk about something else, go ahead. But don't expect Brother Larry to be there. I ain't going to come. I don't want to hear about all that. See, and here's the thing. I'm not trying to be. We've been there. That's what made us leave. All this information that didn't bring transformation. Glory to God.
Amen.
Bunch of information that ain't bringing transformation. You're not changing into the glorious image of Christ. You're not looking in the mirror of the word to bring a reflection of who you are in him. Glory to God. Who he is in you. And you can't reflect it to other people.
Glory.
It's not teaching you to acknowledge every good thing that is in you, that is in Christ. Glory to God. You understand what I'm saying? No. I'm keeping it honest. It's a bunch of information that ain't really helping nobody. That's why it's like you're on a rat wheel, a hamster wheel, still going, ever learning, but never growing. Glory to God. Ever learning, but never growing in Christ. Ever learning, but never coming to know who you are in Jesus. Ever learning. Instead of looking at the Bible and saying, now, who am I in Christ? And walking thereby. What has Jesus done for me? And walking in it. What are my spiritual rights now that I've given my life to Jesus? What are my covenant rights and benefits? I don't hear all that other junk. I'm not here to talk about the president. I'm here to talk about the King. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I ain't never going to apologize for it. Ever. I'm not here to talk about racism or reactionary racism. I'm here to talk about Jesus. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every nation shall bow to his lordship. Tongue and tribe. Romans 16, 17, 20 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, I'm reading, this is out of, I didn't get lost in the spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to keep your eyes on those who cause dissensions and create obstacles, are introduce temptations for others to commit sins, acting in ways contrary to the doctrine which you learn. It says, turn away from them. Sanctify yourself. As we said on Sunday, there's vessels of honor and dishonor. If you want to be a vessel of honor, you're going to have to separate from vessels of dishonor. That's compromising the scriptures to win people into the seats. I ain't compromising the simplicity of the gospel. All you need to do is believe in Jesus. You need to believe in who you are and what Jesus has done for you, and you need to live by it. And then you're going to see results in your life. Peace will come in your life. We're still talking about peace. Contrary to the doctrine that you've learned, turn away from them. From such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites and base desires. By smooth and flattery speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting, the innocent, and the naive. We were there. We were innocent and naive. Making up reasons why it's okay, you know, to leave and divorce your wife because you're finding yourself. Man, please. You in the flesh. You in the flesh and you lusting and you got an attraction to another woman that's word strong because your woman, your wife is word weak. And the devil divided you and got you now connected to somebody else. All because your responsibility is to teach your wife first. Build her up in the word. And now y'all both have a common goal and desire. You're one in Christ. That's the first thing that God taught me and my wife with Brother Barry. He taught us oneness. She can finish my sentences. You see what I'm saying? The enemy attacks the marriage. All right, let me move on. That's enough of that. By smooth and flattery speech that deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting, the innocent and the naive. For the report of your obedience has reached everyone. Look at that. The report of your obedience. So that I rejoice over you, but I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. And look at verse 20. It says, the God of peace will soon what? Crush Satan under your foot. Our feet. So when we are wise in what is good and innocent is what is evil, here come God to crush the devil underfoot. Think I doubled that up. Yeah, did I do the easy to read? Oh, okay. Did I? That was the Amplified. Man, I didn't know that. Okay, listen. Easy read says, brothers and sisters. Yeah, okay, brothers and sisters. I want you to be very careful of those who cause arguments. Remember, I told you people that debate the word, they ain't living the word. I'm not going to argue with you with the scriptures. If you don't want to live them, don't live them. Oh, we got to teach this to try to win people. No, you win people by telling them about Jesus. That's how you win people to Jesus. by telling them about Jesus. Faith in Jesus. When they get faith in Jesus, they'll be saved. Now, I ain't going to argue with you. Just go on about your business, and I'm happy for you that, you know, whatever, you know, but I'm not going to argue. People that live the scriptures don't debate and argue. And hurt people's faith by teaching things that are against what you've learned. Stay away from them. People like that are not serving our Lord Christ. They are only pleasing themselves. They are using fancy talk. Look at that. Fancy talk and say nice things to fool those who don't know about evil. To fool them. And some of these people are not doing it intentionally. They just don't know who they are in Christ. And when you don't know who you are in Christ, you can't share that with others. So they use fancy talk and say nice things. See, that makes me, I like what he said. I say nice things too. What? Jesus is Lord. He loves you. He healed you. By his stripes you're healed. See, that's nice things. That's true. Anything other than that, you're going to get deceived. You got to crucify your flesh. That's the truth. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Okay, come on. Yeah. Everyone has heard that you do. I'm sorry. Let me finish this. They are only pleasing themselves. They use fancy talk and say nice things to fool those who do not know about evil. 19. Everyone has heard that you do what you were taught. See, I do what I was taught, and I am very happy about that. But I want you to be wise about what is good and to know nothing about what is evil. And God, who brings peace, see that? Who brings peace will soon defeat Satan and give you power over him. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. All right. Glory be to God. As ambassadors of the kingdom, we do not engage in fruitless debates, radical or racial arguments, genealogical disputes, or political discussions that demand we take sides. I am not an elephant or, I think I said giraffe, or a donkey. I am a child of the King. I'm a child of God, a citizen of the kingdom. I'm in this earth, but I'm not of this earth. I'm here to take over for Jesus. Jesus comes to take over. He ain't on those political sides. The Bible is clear. Pray for those that are in authority. Why? Read the scriptures, y'all. That we might live in peace. Hmm. Yeah, we back to peace. What sinners do is none of our business. We should live so godly, and God bless us so much. People don't want to live in sin. But in problem, you think that changing people, you know, you can't change people by trying to debate them and intellectualize. See, yeah, there it is. You're trying to intellectualize people into salvation. And strong arm them in the salvation and make them. That's not the way it works. It works by us living in a way that wants them to be saved. And that's what we got to learn to do, is live godly so that God can procure his blessings on us. And then people that ain't saved going to want to get saved because they see how good our God treat us. Okay. Yeah, you see the goodness of God on us. So we're not here to defend earthly ideologies. We are here to represent heaven's government.
Yes.
We hold our peace. Not out of weakness, but out of wisdom. We refuse to fight in the flesh so that God can fight in the spirit. Our silence is not surrender. It is spiritual strategy. It means shut up. When we stay focused, heaven moves. When we stay consecrated, God intervenes. We represent the King by walking in peace, releasing truth, and refusing to be pulled into chaos of this world. That's good stuff there. Glory be to God. All righty. Let's do our declarations. I hold my peace so that heaven can speak. I refuse to fight in the flesh so that God fights for me in the spirit. I am not moved by chaos because I am anchored in Christ. Glory to God. I represent heaven's government, not earthly ideologies. I walk in wisdom, not react in my flesh. I walk truth out. I walk truth without strife. Excuse me. I walk in truth without strife and stand firm without compromise. Sorry for that jumble up. I am a vessel of peace, a voice of clarity, and I carry and a carrier of divine justice. Glory to God. That's who we are. I do not engage in fruitless debates. I engage in kingdom assignments. I'm on kingdom assignment here. I am consecrated, focused, and positioned for divine intervention. God can move through us. I let God reign by standing surrendered, silent, and spirit-led. Glory be to God. Isn't that powerful? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. So I declare that the peace of God guards your heart and mind. You do not react, you reign. I declare that you crush fear with faith, confusion with clarity, and pride with surrender. Peace is your weapon. The enemy is under your feet. Hold your peace, and heaven fights for you.
Yes, Lord.
You walk in divine order, not worldly chaos. You are anchored, armed, unstoppable in Jesus' name. I declare that over you today. Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Walk in the peace of Jesus Christ. Amen.